Welcome back. This is session 26 out of 36 in this course on spiritual warfare. And you'll notice the title of this session. I'll give that to you a minute. It's Going on the Offense. In other words, we're in this section. We looked at the defensive armor of God. Then we began looking at offense, the sword of the Spirit, and the offense of prayer, that this can be offensive against the work of the Spirit, or work of the enemy, excuse me. And now we're going to look at command. We're going to look at the work of Jesus at a couple of events where he encounters the enemy in the spirit of demons that have demonized someone. And we're going to look at how he does this. And we're going to see that there is another weapon that we have that we're usually not too quick to use. Hopefully after this session, you'll find it be true. Before I begin that, though, just a word again of how important your prayer life is if you're going to be somebody engaged in spiritual warfare. Now, we don't do this because of our power, our strength. We can only battle the enemy because we have the authority of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at now how Jesus handled the battle. Mark 1 and Luke 4 record of the first of Jesus' encounters with the enemy, at least according to those two Gospels. And you'll notice that this takes place in Capernaum. Now, we are told in Scripture that Jesus kind of centered his ministry in Capernaum. And I'll show you a map in a moment about where that might be. But he's in Capernaum, which is his hometown. He's in the synagogue where, you know, the righteous people, that's where they went, right? On the Sabbath, they went to be together to worship. And in the synagogue is an unclean, demonized person. Now, just, you know, if you're interested in that sort of thing, here is an aerial view of Capernaum. Now, the bigger building toward the bottom of the picture there is the synagogue. And then the covered area is what they believe was Peter's house, where Jesus spent a great deal of time. That's where he healed, you know, Peter's mother-in-law. That's where that took place. So here they are. They're going into the synagogue, and that's where they meet this demon. Here's how Scripture puts it. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law, which simply means that the teachers of the law wouldn't exercise their own authority. Rather, they would, you know, claim the authority of certain rabbis who lived certain times before, up to four or five centuries before. Just then, Jesus is teaching. And who's going to interrupt that teaching? Just then, a man in their synagogues who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out. Now, that raises questions for me. How did this man who was possessed, we're going to look later at the various levels of work of the enemy in the life of an individual, but this one's possessed. In other words, he is controlled by the enemy. How did he get into the synagogue? What was it? There are some commentators who suggest that Capernaum wasn't all that righteous a town, that there was a great deal of demon activity there. So Jesus is teaching important. People are hearing, they're responding, and the impure spirit cries out through this man, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Think of that. What do you do when you're confronted with this kind of attack, right? Attack not just on Jesus, but the demon recognized Jesus. But the attack, Jesus responds and says, "Be quiet." Said Jesus sternly, "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Now, sometimes share with you art. This is an artist's conception of what happened here. That this man is down on the ground as Jesus gives the command. Now, several things to note here. First of all, this demon manifests itself. It didn't try to stay hidden. Rather, it became very public, even in the presence of Jesus. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. I know that, but still the demon is now on the front line of the battle. He's maybe been in the background for a long time, but maybe now, all of a sudden, he comes out in the life of this man. And he does this in Capernaum, Jesus' hometown, where Peter, James, and John lived. And some have suggested, as I've said, that there were maybe community demons there. This was an impure spirit, which implies a bunch of different stuff from any kind, from ritual impurity. In other words, if you touched a dead person, you were impure. If you didn't live this certain way, you were impure. But Jesus recognized that this is demonic. And he rebukes the demon. How does he do it? With a command. What we're going to see as we look at the ministry of Jesus is this was a weapon for him. He didn't fall to his knees and pray to God to intervene, pray to the Father to intervene. He did it with a command. Let's look at the next encounter of Jesus. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit, once again, came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart, broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside nearby. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Now, the Gadarenes, this was an area that was dominated by Gentiles, so it was out of the Jewish part of it. Considered to be part of the Decapolis, which was 10 cities on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, if you like maps, this is where it was. You'll notice on the left-hand upper side is Capernaum, around the Sea of Galilee, and there is Gennesaret, there's Magdala, from which Mary Magdalene came, Cana in Galilee, where Jesus turned water into wine, Tiberias, which was a Roman city. On the other side were these cities that were populated mostly by Gentiles. And so that's where Jesus goes. Now, there's some things to notice then about this demon who's there. First of all, he isolates this man from the rest of the world. Now, again, this man is possessed by the demon, controlled by the demon. Also, extreme strength. That's one of the signs of demon possession. Inhuman, superhuman strength. I was moving some stuff this week, and I got a travel trailer, and not a travel trailer, a utility trailer that I had piled stuff in. I brought it over to my daughter-in-law's barn on her property. And when I loaded up the trailer, I forgot to attach the chains. Now, a trailer where we live has to have two chains attached to the hitch as well, in case, for any reason, the trailer would come off the hitch. So I forgot to attach those chains, and they dragged that whole way, and they got a little twisted. And so I had to just somehow get them straightened out so that I could use them again. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried just to bend a little bit. And this were just little tiny chains. This guy has exhibited such power, such strength, that he's breaking chains. No one could control him. No one could subdue him. And he's hurting himself. We've talked very early on how the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. And this man is being destroyed. But then that surprising thing, that when Jesus shows up, he runs to Jesus. You know, I would think a demon would run away, wouldn't you? And yet somehow he recognized the authority and the presence of Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And then Jesus gets personal, asks him, "What's your name?" Now, that's a tactic that we're going to talk about later, and it's sometimes helpful for some who have very much been involved with those who are possessed by demons. But his name is Legion. Now, a Roman legion had about 6,000 soldiers. Imagine all the demons that were in this man. No wonder he was so strong. But notice also the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there is no one, no demon, that can fail to obey him. And so he gives the command. Wow. It's a powerful story. So how did Jesus do this thing of spiritual warfare? Well, one, first of all, he was very aware of and very able to identify whether this was a demon or not, and obviously it was. Secondly, he was able to have this demon communicate with him. And thirdly, he exercised authority and power. Come out of him. Come out of him. Take note. We have things to learn here about doing spiritual warfare ourselves. All right, another one. This is from Mark 9, and this is one of my favorites. When they came to the other disciples, this is right after the transfiguration. So Peter, James, and John get to see Jesus totally transfigured up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they have discussion up there, and then they come down, and they see there's this chaos going on down there as people are gathered around this boy. They came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with him about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Here's the rest of the story. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It is often thrown into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus' frustration comes out. "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed those wonderful words, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him. Never enter him again." And the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked like so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Now, I want you to note that. Again, we talked about the vitality of a prayer life. This one can only come out by prayer. There's an alternative reading of that we're going to get to later as we talk about ongoing weapons for warfare. And that is that there is an alternative reading that says by prayer and fasting. In other words, to be prepared, to be prayed up, as you know my mother used to say, and fasting. Now, I'll talk more about that later when we get to that in that session. But for right now, note how Jesus dealt with this. Again, reminder, this is right after the transfiguration. And one of the questions I have is, how did the demon enter this boy? We're going to talk about that in another session. How does a demon get entrance into a kid? Notice the command that Jesus gives. Power and authority come out of him and never enter him again. And why couldn't the disciples cast it out? And is it prayer and fasting that we need here? What are we learning here? Now, confronting demons is a tricky thing. It's not for the faint of heart. I can tell you that from very limited experience. But please take note the commands that Jesus gives. He rebukes him. Come out of him. Don't never enter him again. This is the power of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's being applied here and now. Now, what I'm trying to tell you in this is that you and I have this authority. You and I have access to this power, the power of a command. Come out of him. Leave him right now. And you'll notice when I've done a couple of times at the beginning of a session, you know, just clear the room as far as saying, there are any demons here? I command you in the name of Jesus, not in my name. I've got no reason to give that command, no ability, no authority, no power to give those commands. I command you to leave. Go to Jesus. We're going to talk more as we get into how to do this. But right now, I just want you to take note that you have this power if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. If you have the Spirit of God living within you, you have the power, the weapon of command. When you confront evil, use it. Join me in prayer. Our Lord God, we hesitate to even picture ourselves doing this sort of thing, I think. So remind us again of the great power that you exercised and did that so often. And we pray for you to make us aware of when demons are around, when they're influencing us or when they're influencing somebody we care about or are ministering to. Give us a heightened awareness, we pray, that we might be alert, watchful. And then make us brave, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll see you next time.